You've got to pet them so they can feel it.
Heavy petting on 95 BFM. Thanks to pet doctors.
Now we have E. Hang on, my microphone's a little bit scratchy. We have E on the line from Pet Doctors out in West Harbour. How are you?
G'day, g'day. Not too bad. Yourself?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm really good, actually. I'm upgrading myself from John's good. And I'm
really to amazing or just...
pretty good. I'm sticking with pretty good. I won't be pressured. I'm staying with pretty good. Hey, E, let's just confirm for everyone. Your name is spelled E-E.
Double E.
Just so everyone knows what's going on when we were like, hey, E, what about this or that? And they're like, why are they talking to ecstasy in the third person?
I'll say I've been called a few things over the years. Sometimes get called Ian.
People are assuming like... Kind of
it's always a favourite, my full name's actually E. Hing, but most people sort of know me as E. Makes life easier.
Nice one.
Yeah.
That's good. Now everyone's up to speed, I think. We can carry on with this pet segment and figure out what's going on with people's pets.
Now, just off air, E, you were saying that you've pulled a few teeth today.
Ooh,
and this actually ties in quite nicely with our first question. It says, I've noticed my cat has a reasonable sized chip in her tooth. It's hard to tell if it's causing her any discomfort. Could it get infected? Should I get it looked at?
Yeah, I mean, if it's big enough for you to notice, then I think certainly getting it looked at is a good idea. Also, I guess depends on which tooth is affected. Infection is absolutely possible, especially if you sort of damaged the crown of the tooth, or if it's a big slab fracture, and bacteria can get up the, through the pulp and cause quite a bit of pain and suffering, really.
Also,
so
cats tend to, you know, they get around, don't they? It's worth mentioning.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, and your vet can have a look and recommend sort of treatment. I mean, generally animals, we do need to give them an anesthetic. They need to be asleep so that we can examine the tooth properly, x-ray the tooth, have a look at the root to see whether there is actually any evidence of infection. Believe it or not, you can do sort of procedures like in humans, such as root canals. You can get sort of...
Is there a dentist vet that you go to?
Yeah. I mean, we actually have one in our group. I'll put a plug here for Craig Hunger, who does a bit of our dentistry work. So they do sort of slightly more specialized work. And and there are some veterinary... sort of there are some general practitioner veterinary vets who do that as well, and there are some specialist veterinary dentists who do that too. So
cool. Could they give me a root canal?
I thought John was going to ask for ketamine just now. He didn't.
Yeah, probably not.
There's a safe answer.
In fact, that would be a very emphatic no.
Okay, good. Moving right along. My dog chases his tail constantly. This is someone else saying this, not my dog. My dog is a mint condition. I don't own a dog. It's funny, but sometimes it goes on so long that I start to worry about him. Could there be an unhealthy underlying cause here?
The dog chasing their tail.
Tail addiction.
That's an oldie but a goodie, really.
It's funny, though. It's right.
Yeah.
Everyone loves watching a dog chase their tail.
Yeah, but it can actually be an unhealthy thing in some dogs.
Especially if it catches it, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do get some of them that do sort of agile enough to be able to catch them. Look, if it's just doing it for a short while, then, it's probably not sort of anything too abnormal. But if it keeps doing it constantly, and if it sort of doesn't leave it alone and sort of gets quite compulsive, it could be a sign of something going on. And it can range from what we call compulsive tail chasing disorder. We don't really know why it happens. In some breeds, it's more common. Like you see it a lot in like bull terrier kind of breeds.
Crazy dog itis.
Yeah. There's also some information about potentially that it could be a form of epilepsy, like seizure, that can actually sort of do that as well.
Oh man.
So it can be quite. So it depends on how often you're doing it, but it can potentially be a sign that there's something else going on underneath the in the brain somewhere.
Wow.
So yeah. It is treatable, perhaps?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of, and a lot of it sort of can revolve around retraining.
Is it a case of maybe putting that stuff that you put on little kids' fingers to stop them from biting their fingers on the tail? So it's not delicious when it catches the tail from time to time?
I'm not sure how well that works. We do have some bandages that are supposed to be no chew. Sometimes I often find a dog sort of have a focus to actually keep chewing. So.
To be fair, I've never actually tried a dog's tail. Maybe it's delicious, you know. We can't understand exactly what the dog's doing at all times.
It'll be a bit of sort of bit hairy, I think.
We've got a bit of a and we've got an interesting question here. Someone sticks in saying, I think my dog is constipated. What are my options for helping him deal with this?
Heimlich.
Yeah. So, always a fun question to try to answer. I guess it depends on what it's doing, because sometimes what looks like constipation, and I'm guessing the person sort of seeing their dog sort of squatting and
don't watch it. I reckon that's the biggest problem for dogs, especially in cats as well. As soon as they go into the bathroom, people go, "Oh, look, it's doing a little thing," and then the dog will look at you the corner of its eye like, "Oh, come on, man! Like, we're together all day. Can you give me like 5 seconds to just take care of my business?
I need some privacy."
Yeah,
absolutely. But then the more they do it, the more you watch, so it becomes this. it could be constipation, but those signs, you can see it with urine issues as well, like a urine infection. Actually kind of look like that too. So the options depends a lot on I guess what's going on. Like if it's just some constipation, and sometimes some people feed too many bones, and that can potentially
That I can just, I'm using my imagination on that one.
we have laxatives we can give them, but it sort of depends a little bit on whether it is true constipation or whether it is a urine infection or cystitis.
Just while I've got you, Ian, we're talking about dogs' excrement. How long does it take for a shit to turn white on a lawn?
Oh, pass.
You know what I mean, though, eh? Like those fucking white shits that are just on lawns. It doesn't come out white, does it?
Wait. Is that more of a 1980s kind of dog shit?
Goes to ash. Actually, if you look at some, I always found this funny. If you look at some sort of food contents. One of the contents that's in there is actually ash.
There you go. It's multiplying inside of it.
1980s.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a. It looks like we've got a sort of up to date one here. With Guy Fawkes on the way, what can I do to help my Jack Russell's nerves? Oh man, Jack Russell's are edgy. He gets so shaken up by fireworks. Full stop.
That's the thing. I think Jack Russell's nerves are on edge, even at the best of times.
All Jack Russells are basically like 70 human years old inside of like a little young dog body, eh? Like that's the character of it.
It's the short man syndrome, I think. Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, absolutely. Well and true in Jack Russells. It is a real problem. We do see a lot of dogs who do have a lot of problems at this time of the year, and they obviously can't tell what on earth's going on with these loud bangs.
It must be freaky, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess a couple of simple things you can do is potentially keep them inside at night, pull the curtains over. You can put on the TV.
I was about to say, maybe you have some loud music of your own. Yeah. And then the dog's just like, oh, you're just mucking around, but there's a weird...
You can get these things called thunder jackets, which are quite tight hugging kind of jackets for them, and in some dogs it works really well in terms of it almost just makes them feel like they're being held.
Do they have these in a men's size pretty big? That sounds great. I want a thunder jacket immediately.
everyone wants to be held there, John.
Yeah, right.
You can actually desensitize them. There are these noise CDs, that firework CDs that sort of mimic the sounds, and obviously there are sort of medications that we can put them on to take the edge off them, just chill them out a little bit. And in some dogs, they're so bad that we do need to help them out a little bit with that. So So there are definitely a few options, and it's certainly a tough time of the year for them, and I would certainly encourage you to have a chat with your vet in terms of what's out there and what we can sort of provide and just to help them along. I don't know about you guys, but I tend to find the fireworks season tends to stretch out a lot more these days, and like
it's unpredictable, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be the West Auckland side of things.
Humans love their own controlled little explosion, though. We really do.
But like, I mean, around where we are, we get explosions in the middle of the day.
It's rank.
It is, and when you consider how much fireworks actually cost, it's pretty crazy too. It can be hard to help our little furry friends out, especially when it's all day long and not just at night. Yeah.
Now, we've got another question here. What is an adequate amount of exercise for my 2-year-old Labrador? Is a 30-minute brisk walk in the morning enough?
I guess it depends on how big the Labrador is.
Is it a power to weight ratio?
Well, are you saying that if it's big, maybe walk it for an hour? Are you talking about fat big?
I think it's an understatement that Labradors kind of like to eat most of the time. It depends a little bit on how big the Labrador is and whether you're looking at sort of losing weight on the lab.
So you've got to take that into consideration, whether the dog needs to lose weight.
Yeah, but I mean, as a sort of rule of thumb, sort of twice a day for at least half an hour is usually a good amount of exercise. And again, also depends on how energetic the dog is because they're a retriever gun dog at the end of the day.
Like to walk.
And they do like to swim as well.
It's got to get the duck, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So depends what you can fit into your day too. I think it's certainly something to factor into that. But yeah, a couple of times a day, half an hour is probably a reasonable amount. Yeah.
Now, we do have one last question, which I think is probably more of a general interest question than anything else. But someone's asked, why does my dog cock his head when I talk to him?
Yeah, it's better than cocking its leg,
I guess. He's deaf, I reckon. I reckon the dog's deaf in one ear or something. They have like an ear infection or something, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, they're judging you. They always judge you.
Everybody's looking at their dog now. Like,
you need to update your fashion, dog.
I think I might just end that answer with that. They're just quietly judging you.
Someone's just said, what bones are safe for my dog? Thanks. Is that just not cooked, right? Just not cooked bones, because they shatter and shard in the dog's mouth. Also, big bones are best, I think, because then they can't kind of swallow them at all, right? So you want to go for a big knuckle of a cow or something like that, right?
Yeah, to be honest, these days we tend not to recommend sort of bones in general. Partly because we do see when things go really wrong. I've seen issues, with constipation, with sort of bigger bones as well, and certainly some really nasty things happen with
what
sharp
goes
bones,
in,
like chicken wings. Yeah, so definitely not, absolutely not sort of chicken bones, but I think on the whole, sort of, we try to sort of stay clear of bones these days.
That's good to know, actually. That's actually great advice, because I've been... you know, I know people that talk about getting a bone for their dog, but most people do it for their teeth and whatnot, but there's there's snacks you can get now in the star shape that'll take care of that bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's a few treats out there these days that can help, and brushing your teeth helps as well, and we're more than happy to show you how and sort of run you guys through it. So,
all right, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you, E from Pet Doctors out in West Harbour. There are a whole lot of Pet Doctors stores right throughout Auckland. If anyone wants to get in touch with you guys, they can do so. You guys are really easy to find on the internet, Pet Doctors.
Yep, just Google it. Yeah, and hey, thank you guys. It's always a pleasure having a chat.
Right on, man. Thank you very much.
You have a good one.
See you later. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Is my cat too fat? Heavy petting on 95 BFM. Thanks to Pet Doctors.